Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. It is Thursday, it's March the 18th. Today we're going to talk about a nice light topic, false idols. Doesn't that sound like fun? We're going to talk, I know, listen, if you have a problem with it, talk to the Holy Spirit because he's my program director. We're going to talk about, and we'll look at the first reading from today's Daily Mass. We'll talk about the tendency we sometimes have to set up false idols or false gods for ourselves. Now, I know, we don't believe in idol worship. We're Christians. We don't do that. But let's be honest about something. And, you know, we're friends. We're family. You and me, we can talk about this. Lent is a good time of year to focus on this particular problem. Anytime something becomes more important to us than God, it's an idol. And it's especially critical when we get away from this, when it turns out that the idol somehow causes us to sin. You know, it's bad enough that we turn away from God and pay more attention to someone or something else, but it's another thing entirely, much worse, if we're committing sin. And it's so tricky sometimes to fall into this bad habit. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I believe that excess worry could definitely be an idol. Or the worry can be a symptom. I think that's more accurate to say, a symptom that maybe we are setting up some idols in our lives, or maybe something is more important than God and his will, and that's why we worry, you know? So that could be symptomatic of the problem. Now, the good news is we can fix this. And during Lent, this is the perfect time to work on this, to work on focusing on getting our relationship back with God, you know, on getting back on the right track with God and putting him first. So that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. We will also look at the Give Up Worry for Lent verse today. It's it's from the very end of Luke's gospel, and it gives us a glimpse into the apostles as Jesus ascended to his Father, to leave them to go back to heaven and to leave them on their own. And I think it's an absolutely astounding message and a very hopeful one. And it reminds us of the power of a relationship with Jesus, what it can do in our lives. And I also feel today that I'm supposed to talk about this idea of a relationship with Jesus, because I truly believe that some people, and you may be one of them, don't fully appreciate what a relationship with Jesus is. It's not a warm and fuzzy feeling. It's not a series of pious sentiments or statements or beliefs. It's a legitimate relationship with him. But I honestly believe that some people, and I, you know, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I just feel that we can all stand to grow a little bit in our relationship with the Lord. I do a lot of Catholic media. I was on a TV show from New York today talking about my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good. I've got two more radio interviews tomorrow. I did several throughout the week. And I encounter people, I speak to people at parishes, and I do encounter individuals who just seem to not quite get this idea of a relationship with Christ, of surrendering their lives to him. And if you're one of them, that's okay. I'm so glad you're here, because I've been through some stuff. And, you know, I am constantly trying to hang out with people or listen to people. It's kind of hard to hang out with people with what we're going through right now with the quarantine, who have that relationship. And I just love hearing them talk. I love hearing them talk about spending time with their friend Jesus, talking about him with a smile on their face, not afraid to talk about him, because they know him intimately. St. Paul was this way. And I have encountered people who do have that kind of relationship. And it is amazing. It's something that it just inspires me. So maybe in some small way I can do that for you today as I talk about how Jesus saved my life, what he's done for me, how my relationship with him has enabled me to experience peace, his peace. So I hope you're going to be able to stick around for the entire 30 minutes of the program today. I believe it's going to be a good one. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. And, you know, the idea of the false idols, it is not something most of us take seriously. But at the moment, I'm looking at some things in my life and thinking, is this okay? Is this causing me to move further away from Christ? And these are little things, supposedly. It's not any major sinful activities. It's just little things. They're causing problems in my life. And I think we all have them. So let's do that. Let's let the Spirit guide us today as we look to get rid of some of these idols, these false gods in our life, and try to move closer to Jesus. And then look at the results of what a relationship with Christ, the results that that relationship can produce in our lives. All right, sound like a plan? I got a lot to cover. You ready? You with me? All right, strap yourself in. Let's get ready. Let's pray. Let's talk to Jesus today. Let's open up our prayer and speak to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's always ready to be with us. He wants to hear from us. And I can see him now with a big smile on his face. You know, don't forget that. Jesus was a human being. He was human. He was also divine. He had two natures. Jesus had a physical body. He could smile. He could feel emotions. He got hungry. He got tired. And this was because of the fact that he allowed himself to become human. So when I say he's happy to see us, and he has a big smile on his face, that's an accurate statement. Because he really has a face, he's got a body, and he can smile. So let's picture that smile now as we approach him. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Oh, Lord, you know life can be tough sometimes. You know what we're going through. You know that we sometimes fail to see you in the midst of our problems. We focus so much on the problems. We focus so much on what might happen if things don't get better in our lives, that we just lose sight of you. Well, today we're going to get our focus back on you as we begin this show. We're going to thank you, Lord, for entering our world, even though it involved pain and suffering for you. It involved leaving the comfort of heaven, lowering yourself so that you are able to experience the discomfort that goes along with being human. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us how to have a relationship with our Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for walking with us, for speaking to us in the Scriptures and in your church. Lord, we know you are all-powerful. You can do all things. There is no problem that is too big for you. You can handle any problem that we present to you. And we got some doozies. So we're going to present our problems to you now, Lord. We ask you to help us with them. You know, we might be feeling a little off today, a little down. I know I didn't have a great night's sleep last night, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Somebody else here might be feeling a little queasy about some situation, apprehensive, even hopeless. We're going to give you all of our problems right now, Lord. Here they are. We're handing them over to you. Please handle them for us. Thank you, Jesus. We know you heard that prayer. We know you will answer in the best way possible. Lord, during Lent, we strive to grow closer to you. We still have a few weeks left in Lent. It's not too late to make tremendous progress. So we're going to rededicate ourselves to making this a great Lent, but we can't do it without your help. So we ask you to pour out your Spirit on us, guide us, give us ideas, point out faults, imperfections, things that need to be cleaned up that we might have missed. Feel free to disrupt our plans. If you feel that giving up chocolate or cake wasn't the most important and pressing need in our life, please let us know so that we can make some changes to not only give up what we want to give up, but to give up what you would like us to give up. Lord, I ask you to bring to life your Spirit in me today so that I can deliver the message that you have for us without messing it up. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. And I ask this with confidence in your name, Lord. And I ask it through the intercession of your blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thanks for praying with me. It means a lot. You know, I tried to, I was feeling it when I was praying today. I hope you realize that those prayers were heard. I have no doubt they were heard. They will be answered in the best way possible. Don't get confused. Don't get confused when you don't necessarily see the answer to your prayers when you ask for help, but believe by faith that they will be answered. And that's what we have each other for, right? That's why I'm here for you. That's why you are here for me. You know, I get emails every day encouraging me. I get discouraged. Being in full-time ministry for 10 years now, it's not like I'm an expert. It's hard sometimes, and I'm constantly under attack. I love what I do, but the Lord really stretches me sometimes. He stretches me financially. That's why I have to ask for donations. But you come through for me, and I'm really grateful. So let's continue while the Lord has us connected. As long as I can do this show and you can listen to it, let's keep doing what we're doing. Let's pray for each other every day. And let's keep walking through life on the journey to our common destination. You and me, we're both headed for heaven. That's where our goal is, at least our goal should be. And there's no reason for you and me not to get there. Jesus won that victory for us on the cross. All we have to do is cooperate with that grace that he gives us. You know, he bought us the plane ticket, but we got to drive ourselves to the airport and get on the plane. And if we do that, as long as we do that, we stay close to him, it is going to work out fine for us. All right. So thank you for listening. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. I want to let you know that tomorrow morning I will be on Relevant Radio's morning air. If you want to catch me on the program, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And we're going to be talking about how to make the most of the remainder of Lent. And you know, it is not too late. We'll also be talking a little bit about St. Joseph as well, because tomorrow is a big solemnity, highest holy day in the church, a solemnity. So we celebrate the solemnity of St. Joseph tomorrow, March the 19th. So it's a big day. Anyway, I hope you'll be able to listen to Relevant Radio at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, and you can get to hear yours truly. Hopefully you're going to get to hear me again tomorrow afternoon as I upload this show as well. All right. Any questions? Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And also you can go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, to contact me through the website. or maybe check out my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good. Not just for Lent, but for good. Okay, I'm going to take a sip of my beverage today. And look, I hope you have a better beverage than I do. I have got a cup of, this is pathetic, this is cold coffee, not iced coffee, cold coffee. And you know, I talked about this before, I'm a little weird. This coffee's been sitting here, and it's also like the second, I made it this morning, and then I put more water in the coffee pot. I know, I got some weird habits, I'll tell you. So it's been sitting here, it's cold, it's run through the coffee maker twice, so it's, I know. That's not bad. I know, I'm strange, but I can share things like that with you. You get me, I hope. Anyway, let's talk about this. What do you want to do first? I want to do the Give Up Worry for Lent first, but you know what? I want to do that second. I was going to do it first, but I think it flows better if we look at the first reading from today's Mass. When this is a tough one. This is the false idol one. It goes. It's from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 7 through 14. And look, I really want you to be open-minded when I read this, because I think this applies to all of us. All of these readings do. You know, a lot of times we'll read something like this and we'll say, well, I'm okay, but you know, that other person, no, each one of us, this applies to us, no matter what it is. We always want to take something out of the reading, God telling us something we need to fix in every reading, or something we can improve on, or something to do, a call to action of some kind, because that's really what he does. He's helping us through the scriptures. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once to your people. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good, right? God's saying, go to your people. Moses is up on the mountain meeting with the Lord, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. You notice God's not saying, like, these are my people. They're his people. But he's saying, Moses, your people, who you brought out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, they are messed up, Moses. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it, and crying out, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now look, I know this sounds wacky, and I certainly don't expect you to have a molten calf in your living room that you bow down to, but you see what the people are doing? This is an extreme example. I mean, we're looking back thousands of years. It's hard for us to relate, but what they're doing is what we do every day. They're giving credit to this false God for something that God did for them. God brought them out of slavery. But how many times do we do the same thing in very subtle ways? Yesterday, I was blessed. I looked at my bank account and I saw that I got a stimulus payment from the government. And it's very easy to forget to thank God for that. It's very easy to forget to thank God for the groceries that are available in our local grocery store, for the credit card that I use to pay the groceries, for the groceries, and for the money that I have in the bank that enables me to pay my credit card bill. You know, it's easy to start just thinking, oh yeah, good thing we got a store, good thing the store is open, good thing I got money, good thing the government's sending me money, but it all comes from God. And I can be so guilty of forgetting to thank him for this. You know, I'm glad my power's on today so that I can heat the house, cook the food, but God's allowing the power to be supplied to my house. Everything, the air that we breathe, the lungs that we use to breathe the air, it's all a gift from God. And during Lent, this is a time to reflect on the times that we forget to give him the credit. Again, we're not necessarily worshiping the golden calves, but we're forgetting that everything that we get, the vaccine that protects us from COVID, that comes from God. God gave the scientists the mental ability and the resources to come up with this vaccine. You know, so everything comes from him. The Lord said to Moses, I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. then I will make of you a great nation. Now, this is one of those tricky things that we see, especially in the Old Testament. It's called an anthropomorphism. This is where the writer applies human characteristics to God to make him more human. God doesn't get angry. God doesn't change his mind. God is constant. God can't change because he's God. But this is a way of you and me being able to understand God. And what's about to happen is Moses is about to intercede for the people. Now, it's not like God changed his mind. This is all part of God's plan. You're never going to figure all of this out because God's too big for us to figure out. But God wills it so that you and I can intercede for one another. We can pray. It's a mystery how it all works. But God allows it. He leaves some room for us in his working so that we can participate with him and pray and be heard. Again, he doesn't have to, but he does. Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt?" Now, see, now God's saying, Moses, you brought the people out. They're your people. Moses is saying, God, these are your people. These are your people who you brought out of Egypt. You used me, Moses is saying, but God, you're the one who did it with such great power and with so strong a hand. He's buttering up the Lord a little bit. Not a bad idea. You're strong. You're powerful. "Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent, he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth? Let your blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.'" So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. Now, again, you got to read this with the understanding that it is not a 100% accurate description of how God operates. It's a very human rendering of God. But it illustrates what? It illustrates mercy. He's merciful. The fact that you and I are still alive and not being judged by him today, or furthermore, not being in hell, which we're not. If you're hearing this, you're not. You still have a chance to clean up any remaining imperfections in your life. You got that chance. That's God's mercy. He wants to give us every opportunity possible to make changes to the way that we ignore him, the ways we mess up. He wants to give us this opportunity. And what season are we in right now? We're in Lent. And this is a great chance for us to repent, to turn away from those things that are causing the Lord to be unhappy with us and to move closer to him. So that's something I pray that you're going to be able to look at your life and recognize those golden calves in your life, whatever they may be. And oftentimes, what you worry about is going to point you right to your problem areas. They are your false idols, the things you worry about. And they're always things out of your control. You ever notice that? You don't worry about things you can control because you would control them. You worry about things you can't control. They are the false idols in your life. And now's the time to work on them. The Give Up Worry for Lent Bible verse. We just have a few minutes, but it's not going to take too much time. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 52 and 53. "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." This is the kind of a crazy incident. This is when Jesus is ascending into heaven and his apostles are watching him ascend into heaven, and they're about to go back to Jerusalem. He told them to go to Jerusalem and continue his work. Now, you would think these guys, they're cowards, they're clueless. I mean, this is the way they've operated when we've seen what the apostles have done. 40 days ago, they were locked in the upper room, fearing for their lives. And now 40 days later, they are filled with joy, watching Jesus go away from them, ascend into heaven, and going back to Jerusalem. They're joyful. Why? That just goes to show you the power, the life-changing power of a relationship with Jesus. There's no human reason for them to be joyful, but they are, because they're becoming transformed. They still hadn't received the full effects of the Holy Spirit yet. That's going to be coming on Pentecost Sunday. But they have enough to go out and realize that Jesus is with them and can help them. And that's the secret for you and me to not only experience peace and joy in our lives, but to getting rid of the false idols as well. More Jesus, less reliance on ourselves, and less focus on the things that keep us away from him. That's the way we're going to get peace. That's the way we're going to have a good Lent. That's the way we're going to get to heaven. So I invite you to think about that a little bit today. What's keeping me from Jesus? What am I worried about? And what can I do to fix that? How can I get my focus back on the Lord and learn to trust him? Well, we can just do that. We can spend time with him. We can let him speak to us through the Bible and prayer. We can receive the sacraments, and we can make that conscious decision that we talked about yesterday. Jesus, I trust in you. I trust you, Lord. I don't have to feel it to do it. I trust you. I'm going to go through Lent, the remainder of Lent, working on this one day at a time. You can do this. I know you can do this. Hey, thanks so much for spending some time with me today. I hope you have a fantastic night. I hope to catch you on Relevant Radio tomorrow morning, and then again right here back on Following the Truth tomorrow afternoon. Hey, know that I'm praying for you. You can do this. You can feel that peace. Think about those false idols, and then let's do something about them. God bless you. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.